You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
So this is your first hunt. And you've come to the most dangerous planet in the universe. After a creature that can't be killed. The definitive apex predator.
I could help you.
Well, good luck with your journey. Here, you're not the predator. You're the prey.
You join us!
We might not be alone in this hunt.
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Tonight we have Jill and Quinny and Dion, and we're going on a little hunty hunt.
Yay!
That's right. Yes, I can hear you. You're trying to.
Sorry, I'm trying to speak. Yautja.
Yautja.
Yeah, be very, sorry. Very quiet. We're hunting callus.
Oh God! Okay. Yes, there is some sort of weird, strange gonk level of background information that is going to be required.
I don't know what
tonight.
You're talking about.
I really hope all of our audience is old enough to know what we're talking about.
Well, if they're not, we're in trouble.
No, there is. Well, there is kind of an Elmer Fudd predator in it, but that's how we want to call it. But that's all right then. How you guys going? Good Wednesday night, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
a little
it
bit,
is.
It's a little bit out of there. We refrained from the social reactions that from yesterday's film, but we are allowed to talk about it tonight, and we are going to. Yes, Predator.
I had to keep reminding myself what day it was because we didn't do the podcast last night. I'm like, what day is it today? Fuck.
Yeah. But also, the world is now. Because the embargo was at 3 o'clock in the morning. There's a whole bunch of websites that are like, here, have our opinions of that. So if you are very interested, you may already know, but you've come to the one and only reliable source to find out what we thought of Predator : Badlands.
Yes, 100% not run through any sort of large language learning model sort of stuff. Yes, we're going to be talking about the seventh film in the Predator franchise, if you want to talk about it that way. And we are that is if we exclude AVP and AVP Requiem. So technically you could say it's the ninth film within the Predator franchise, but it's not.
And this also incorporates Killer of Killers.
Yes.
Like that.
Technically that was a film. It was a whole film length sort of thing.
Yeah, no, so absolutely.
It's all on there. Can you list what they are? Which is the one that you forgot about? Because you're going, Jesus, seven? I can't remember that I had seven of them.
I'm pretty sure the one that everybody wants to forget about is The Predator, the one that had Thomas Jane in it. And
sure.
But yeah, it's the really shit one. That
Boyd Holbrook?
That's the
one. Remember that guy, Boyd Holbrook? He's been in movies.
Done a lot of stuff, but yeah, that was the one that introduced us to, I don't know whether it introduced us to predator dogs, but
no, that was Predators.
Oh, okay, right. But I do remember that the Predator had a predator dog. Fuck, that movie's terrible.
yeah, no. Hey, come on, leave it alone.
No, I don't want to. I'd like to kick it some more because that particular film is shit.
It has been almost 30 years. It's just under 28 years since Predator came out. Wow. So, yeah, so I think that's one of my things, the takeaways that I go through when I'm going to talk about Predator Badlands, is I had a lot of problems with it that just sort of kept creeping up when I sat and I thought about it. And I was like, I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that's gone on there. I know. Like,
what?
This is a thing. I know both of you are just kind of like, hey, what? But I also have to acknowledge that, like, you do have to grow and develop after 28 years of films, and not including books, comics, and other video games, other materials that have gone into it.
Which I'm amused by that because this is one that has very, very definitely gone, okay, we're going to acknowledge a bunch of that stuff.
Like, sure.
Because this is officially the first time in any film canon that they have been called Yautja.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so I was going to say, I don't think I'd ever heard what their race was before.
In the comic books, it's been said for a long time.
Okay.
And that was sort of just going, and that's, you know, where it came from. Somebody in the comics said they're called Yautja, and everyone went, okay. And this is the first time that they've actually put it into a film and canonized it and said, this is what they're called.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Yeah, which was kind of nice. It was like, oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Good.
So, Predator Badlands.
Yeah.
What's it all about, Quinny?
Okay.
Do you have some sort of synopsis?
I do.
And you have preference for accent?
Well, I've actually gone and found a language translator for Yautja. So that's
more like than anyone has ever done in their previous time, apart from Jill actually translating it into Japanese. So I mean, whereas she used her brain and skills to do that, you just plugged it into a computer. So hey.
It's the future, Dion. Yeah.
I am working smarter, not harder, thank you very much.
Say yes to our AI overlords.
To be honest, this film does have a universal translator moment, so I'll allow this. What kind of accent do you want though? Can you do it as if you're running your
you
voice
mean what kind of accent?
Running your voice across a cheese grater. There you go.
Okay. It sounds an awful lot like fucking whatchamacallit?
By the what?
Vakrindaka Thea Chikskar Outla Yautja Bandokshraken Kapra. I'm gonna stop now.
It sounds a lot like Klingon. Like, what are you doing?
It sounds a lot like Klingon. Let's be honest here.
Look, I mean, love it. I'm playing the music, the theme for the Predator Badlands, which is sung by The Who is the Mongolian throat singer.
I'm
band.
So glad because, like, if you do it with that music in the background, it becomes kind of epic.
Give it a go. Go right ahead. And some more. Give me some more Yautja.
Okay. Hrotik Vaknakta Chakensin Jalok Karaktak.
Yeah. Krablak, bring out the bloodline.
Yeah, sweet. Cool. In English for translation, the gaijin says that he would like to stab you in the... No.
It's a multiple layers of joke. It's a different joke that we're going in there. Okay, we're going.
Okay, in the future, on a remote planet, a young predator outcast from his clan finds an unlikely ally.
finds an unlikely alley to go down. It's really scary.
In fear, an android and embarks on a treacherous journey in search of the ultimate adversary. So, that young predator is Deck. That's essentially the plot of where we're at.
Or in the New Zealand dub.
There's some other detail to it.
Or in the New Zealand dub, Dick.
Which, I mean, if Thea had a New Zealand accent, it would have been, Yautja, Dick. Do you want to come?
It would have been the Australian accent we were saying. Yautja.
Well, yeah, I mean.
They're more nasal.
Right. Itch? No, I can't do this.
We're not doing that. Anyway. That's not what this is. No, we can't be taking the piss out of this film straight away. Predator. Jesus. Yes.
So, yes, this is the first time in any Predator film where the Predator is now the protagonist.
Yeah. Who, funnily enough, is played by a Maori.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the whole thing. Dick. He's played by Demetrius Schuster Koloa
Matangi.
Matangi. My apologies for butchering that name. Should have read that in my brain first before saying it out loud.
I mean, interestingly enough, he also plays Njihor, the apex predator, and Dek and Quay's father. So,
well, there's a long history of two people playing, so one person playing two people. That's fine. I'll allow everything.
Yeah. But interesting choice to go, okay, well, we need, and I'm assuming that it's because Demetrius is a big dude.
Well, he's not that big. Because, contextually, he's as big as Elle Fanning. So unless Elle Fanning is gigantic. Welcome to this way that we're trying to explain this without spoiling too much of the movie and trying to, like, you know, come across nicely. I don't know where to start. Where should we start?
Yeah, I guess it's difficult because we saw it yesterday and it's not really out until tomorrow.
Yep.
So we don't kind of want to ruin it for anyone.
No, 100% not doing a spoilery thing for me, for people
today. There's a lot of interesting stuff in this movie. I got to say, as someone that is probably not as gung-ho about Predator lore as others in this chat. Yes, hey, hello. I really enjoyed the movie. It was nice to see a different perspective on Predator. I mean, original Predator, still my favorite. Love that movie. So good. Yeah. I saw the one with Keegan-Michael Key in it. What was that one?
That was Predators.
That's the shit one.
No, that wasn't Predators. That was The Predator.
Oh, The Predator. Sorry.
Oh, God. The Predator. Doesn't matter. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was nice to see, a different perspective on a Predator film. And I got to say, it was a bit of a romp. I really had such a good time.
Yeah. And I mean, this is, am I right in remembering, Jill, you haven't seen Prey?
Oh, wait. Yes, I have seen Prey. Yes. Okay. So besides Prey, this is probably my favorite Predator movie.
Right. Which is great. Yeah. It's the new
original Prey and Badlands.
It's the new Tracton universe that we're going for. We've deviated slightly from Predators.
Yeah, so the guy that directed this film also did Prey, and we've reviewed Prey before, and we gave it a stellar.
We did.
Fucking loved it. And did the Killer of Killers animated. Mm-hmm. Is it vignette story one? Watched.
Anthology film?
Anthology, Well, it's a bunch of stories that all come together at the end. You can sort of see
it's fucking good.
Yeah, you can sort of see exactly how this film that we're talking about, Predator Badlands, is like this. That was kind of the world builder to link sort of Prey to this film. That's how I came across it.
Well, I mean, if you saw Prey and you thought that was a different take on Predator, this is a new take again. It's great to keep getting fresh ideas on a franchise.
And the thing I really like about the Dion, you've got a point. Your fingers are up. You've got a point.
No, that's what I want to come back to because Jill, I really respect it too. I respect that point, Jill. I'm with it. It's just I have some issues. I have some things.
Okay, that's fine.
I like that it brings new concepts to it. I like that this is the first time that we've actually pulled back that curtain and gone, okay, our protagonist is a predator. So this is the first time we're seeing their society. We're hearing them talk to each other. Mm-hmm. We've never heard that before. We're starting to go, oh, okay, they're not so alien. We can understand some of their ways of doing things. The thing I really liked about this is that as a big Predator fan, it did that thing where it's like, oh, we're going to do bits from the previous films, but we're going to do them in smart ways and, you know, flip them on their heads. Or we're going to do things that make you go, oh, okay, right. You've used that trope, which is now a Predator trope.
Mm-hmm.
And done it in a different way. You've changed it enough that it doesn't necessarily feel. And I see Dion's face going, not so much. And I have a feeling that Dion and I may be on different sides of the boat on this one.
I mean, sure. Hey, continue. No, like, look, if you're digging, I'm going to let you keep digging.
Wow.
I think,
wow.
Yeah. I like the idea that, you know, the first Predator film was very much about, like, okay, here's a thing that is hunting these ultimate warrior guys.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, you know, we're all about how big and macho and buff they are and, you know, the big guns and the, like, they are, you know, apex human whatever. And they ain't shit in comparison to Alien with dreadlocks.
Yeah.
And in this one, we turn that all on its head. And it's like, okay, Alien with dreadlocks ain't shit in comparison to this planet.
Yeah.
Sort of.
And then has to do what they, you know, Predator does, or sorry, what Arnie did in the first film, which is get in touch with that bestial side of things to become a different kind of Predator. And I'm trying, this is very hard to do it without doing big spoilery sure. shit for where it yeah. goes.
Well, I mean, basically our protagonist, Predtagonist, has crash landed in Australia and everything is trying to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah. They just needed someone to go, crikey. Yeah. Yeah, it could have worked very funnily that way, but no, what was the actual planet? It's Genna. Genna.
Genna.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a G,
yeah, yeah,
and it's not Jenna.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
they're doing. They're
Peter's
doing...
not even here, and she's angry.
The amount of times people fuck up the spelling of my name because they've spelled it with a G, I'm like,
people call you Gil?
No, they spelled Jillian with a fucking G, like a halfwit. I'm like,
yes. Yes.
Who's the ultimate warrior here? Jill. Jill is the ultimate warrior.
I have a predilection to hate all Jillians with G's.
Jesus. You should hunt them all
down. You should hunt them all down. Much
take
like
their skulls.
I'll be the ultimate Jillian. Dion, I derailed you.
No, yeah, what? No, I'm with it.
Where were you going with this, Dion?
You're already to heap shit on this movie. Go ahead.
I'm not ready to heap shit on the movie because this is actually one of those things. I'm going to heap shit on some of the choices made to do things that I think really, I find it kind of detracted a bit from the mythos of what we have always known about the Predator, which isn't much. Like, I think this is one of the things that the reason that you get, like, hundreds of types of science fiction characters and things come and go and do that all the time. And they do not stick. One of the things that I thought really stuck with the Predator was, apart from the fantastic Stan Winston, like, fourth version of the Predator that wasn't Jean-Claude Van Damme in an orange suit, which is how it originally says. So it's, hey, here's this idea. But we've come out to this, that crab-like face and the dreadlocks and the smart armaments and the cloaking. It was an immediate and visceral kind of, like, mystery and curiosity that the audience has about what is this thing, all right? Yeah. And for almost all the rest of the Predator films, it has kept a fair bit of that mystery. We used to get glimpses in, and I think that what people need to understand, which isn't spoilery, but you are going to get a very hard and fast and somewhat kind of aggressive punch into that kind of society and how everything works. And some of that mystery may be removed because it's no longer what kind of thing this is. It goes, no, we're giving establishing things. This is how they talk. This is how they interact with each other. This is their society. This is how this kind of goes. This is their home planet-ish or whatever it is. Like, and it is very rapid from the first 20 minutes. And while I liked it because it did serve the story, it is very much like a director who's coming in and going, it's mine now. I'm Predator now. I make the Predator decisions. Everything about how Predators operate is mine now. And I like it. And as I said, it's been 20, like almost 30 years. You got to move on. You got to try something a bit different. I found it slightly annoying because I liked the mystery.
Okay.
And
I do have to say, though, that like everything that they showed us about the culture, I did not find surprising. Like, no. I kind of assumed those were the ways because of what we see in the mysterious predator. It's like, yeah. It's quite easy to be presented with this character and say, oh, okay, well, that makes sense as what his home life is like.
Yeah,
sure. But I mean, this is like immediately instead of it's an alien, it's a predator, it's an unknowable thing. It's like, oh, this is a very human story. I'm getting all of this. Like, oh, it's about familial relations and bits and pieces. And it's like, and no longer is it just kind of like, man, like there was that amazing moment that we had in, well, when we watched it in Predator 2, whereas at the end of the film where, you know, Danny Glover beats the predator and all of the other ones just turn up out of the mist as if they had just been standing by quietly watching.
I love that Jill is like, I haven't watched Predator 2.
I think I might have.
But right. I mean, and then they just fuck off. And you just kind of go, holy shit, what does that mean? Is this whole sort of thing? Like they would never intervene to save anyone. And it gave you that kind of mystery of like, that's cool. And then we've kind of had that with the rest of the films as we go. It's always like one lone or a couple in there. And in this one, it's just very much like, here's Predator Society. Take it as you will.
And the kayfabe has been ruined for Dion.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But they've been kind of adding to it as they've gone through all of the films. Like, you know, Predator 2 gave us that little bit extra that, you know, that and the alien skull and everything like that. Then you get Predators. And we find that there's different types of predators. Like there's the big super predators as well as the other ones.
Sure.
And then you get to the predator and you realize it's all shit.
I love the idea that predators are different because if you took one human and gave it to an alien planet and they went, they all look like that. And then they came here and they looked at the vast, diverse way that humans are. They'd be like, this is not what human. No, not what I ordered.
You know? And I like that because also this design is quite different. Like Deck is quite a different looking predator than what we've seen.
And explain why.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen them without the masks before, but I do find that they were very human-like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably a decision that was like, okay, we want it to be able to emote. We want to have something that feels closer to a human sort of visage. Like I was a little weirded out when I was looking at it going, no, the head's meant to be bigger and like the crests are meant to be bigger, you know, and why the fuck does he actually have a hairline? That's fucked up. But then you see the father when they pull his mask off and you're like, oh, okay, so it's an age thing, is it? Right. You know, that
could be. Okay. You don't know.
But also... Yeah. You know, the one, the predator out of Prey looked very different from all of them as well.
Sure.
Like, and I do love the idea, as you say, Dion, that it's just, there's a multitude. They can look like all sorts of fucking things.
And in Predators, there was the black and red predators that hunted other predators.
The super predators or whatever,
And while I'm not saying that this movie completely, you know, draws back the curtain on how their society operates and everything and it keeps, you know, stuff there, it is very much explaining things or showing things to us that, you know, has taken some of that mystery away for me. Like it took some of the mystery away and I wasn't like, I also didn't like it with a lot of this kind of like reliance on laser thingies in this one. A lot of this Predator stuff has a lot of lasers in it. And I mean, I kind of want to go back to the, I want to come back to the older one, which was just like, you got your knives on the gauntlet, you've got your disc you can throw, but you kind of throw it as a boomerang. You've got that actual net, which is a net and not a laser net, and a spear and stuff. But you know, that's a nitpick.
But also, there is a point early on in the film where, like, I did laugh because it was that thing of going, okay, he's going to lay out all of the cool things that he can use throughout this movie. And then he loses them.
I mean, this is why I think that what I want to say is like as much of the problems that I have with the film, it's a really good film because it's a smart film that kind of goes, all right, we're going to do all this sort of stuff and then understand why we can wipe it away. And the way that the filmmakers have done that is great, because what it does is it establishes in this film, you do not know what will happen.
Yeah.
Because you get an expectation, and then it removes it completely, and it keeps doing that. And it's like, oh, right. Okay. I get you now. In this film, we could go anywhere.
It's got jokes too. I was very charmed by this movie.
Yeah, The Predator can be charming and funny and dry.
Very, yes.
And also when what could you, like Manic Pixie Dream Android? with Elle Fanning's Thea, who
she's
is
quite fun too.
What is it? She has a empathy programming. Mm. So that she can better
programmed in.
Yeah, so she can better document the wildlife on the planet, which is what Weyland-Yutani is doing there. Because of course they are. It's bioweapon.
Spoiler alert.
Well.
Yeah. Yes and no. Like, because she.
It's literally.
Well, I mean, guys. Hey, just so you know, it's another crossover film.
Yeah, it is, but like, it's like that thing of like, yes, it's a crossover film, but it's not like, you know. It's not another one of that particular series of films.
No. And you can't say that Weyland-Yutani is a spoiler because it's the first shot of the trailer.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't watch the trailer.
It was at the start of our podcast, Jill.
I still didn't watch the trailer.
Like in it, like Elle Fanning's, a android character wakes up in a Weyland-Yutani like branded pod. That's the start of the trailer. So,
well, too bad if you didn't watch the trailer like I didn't.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And to be honest, I didn't watch the last couple of trailers because I didn't want to get too much of
I'm just like, Predator movie? Okay, I'll be there.
Yeah.
I don't need a trailer.
And I didn't I played the first trailer, which is the least spoilery of trailers. Oh, and okay. I also chose the clip, which was the least spoilery clip.
Well, if we know that she's from Weyland-Yutani, then I got to say, for a synth, she was very charming. I found her so much fun.
Yeah. She's no Lance Henriksen.
Sorry, you go.
I was going to say, she's no Lance Henriksen. Or
Timothy Olyphant.
Oh, Timothy Olyphant.
No, definitely no Timothy Olyphant. but no Winona Ryder either.
Fuck, really, that's a deep cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, that's something I would love to get some kind of a little bit of an idea on, is where in that. And here's the deep nerd shit.
Oh, in the timeline?
Where in the timeline is it? Because we've just had Alien Earth.
Where in the fucking timeline are you?
Yeah, exactly. We've just had Alien Earth, which is very much right at the start of the whole alien-y timeline. And, you know, the technology of what Weyland-Yutani is doing and where they're at is at a certain point. This definitely feels like it's quite a bit later on.
Well, it's the chronology, which is established. This Predator story, according to the Wikipedia, is Predator, Killer of Killers, Prey, Predator, Predator 2, Alien versus Predator, Alien versus Predator Requiem, Predators, The Predator, Predator Badlands.
Jesus. Okay. So at the end.
Still doesn't tell us where we are in terms of Weyland-Yutani, though.
Yes, but if we're doing Predator Badlands, it means it's after The Predator.
Which we know because that... What happened in modern day?
Yes,
but even like Romulus was like still hundreds of years from now.
Yes,
yeah. So this is that thing of like, is it after Romulus? Is it? And it feels like it's quite a long way past Romulus. But also doesn't fucking matter because it's not actually important to the story.
No, it's not. it's just a nerdy thing to do.
It's just fucking nerds like me who get really excited about it going, I'm sorry, but when you mention Mother, it's a totally different thing.
But like Alien Earth and Romulus and stuff, like they're relatively close. I mean, there's still research vessels that are out there capturing specimens, and that's what's kind of happening in this film. So I would say it's before Alien.
But technology-wise, doesn't make sense. Because
they still don't have like warp technology, because they mentioned that in the movie.
True, but like in talking to Mother, the synths all use projection and shit, whereas all the other Alien films, it's clunky old keyboards and shit like that. So
I mean,
that's why I'm kind of like, I feel like this may be quite a lot further in, but also who gives a fuck?
Yeah,
it's a cool Predator movie.
Sure, it's a cool Predator movie. And we get, like, you know, lots of Predators. We get some Predators, you know, from one side.
Predators
at the start, Predators at the end, Predators in the middle. Some excellent foreshadowing, because I really like it when something uses stuff that it foreshadows earlier in the film and then brings it back by the end of the film. And I'm like, okay.
And I really enjoyed that. I love that kind of thing of going, okay, this is what I was talking about, that echoing of the first Predator film, where he realizes how to use the old school technology of bows and arrows and shit like that. And in this one, it's like, okay, I'm going to use what I have learned about this deadly planet and turn myself into a kick-ass Predator.
I mean, it's very simple to do, but it's effective.
Exactly.
I mean, like, the story, like, everyone working on this, and let's be honest, it's fine. For all my problems with, like, oh, no, you're explaining too much of the mystery. The people making the film know their Predator lore. They understand what's going on. They're happy to be like, actually, we really get this, and we're going to show you this and still make it fresh and new and interesting. And that's what I kind of enjoyed about it, you know?
I like that they know their Predator lore, but they also aren't like slavish in trying to make everything fit to within a particular, you know, canon or anything. It's like the whole point of this is it's still entertaining and it's still fun. We can introduce, and the great thing is, like, we're learning about the planet at the same time as Deck is learning about the planet, even though Thea's been there for a couple of years or whatever. And has a better understanding. We're kind of learning about this fucking death planet.
Yeah.
Australia.
I mean, Australia. Geelong. That's what it was, wasn't it? this is the thing. Like, remember Alien Romulus, which was, again, the same kind of thing. Really loves aliens, knows stuff about it. Every time that it was referencing the Alien films, it was doing it in a way that was slightly ham-fisted, you know.
Oh, my God.
So you get this, I think it's a much more nuanced way of doing it. Yep. You're right, Quinny. It goes, oh, I'm gonna mirror the first Predator film, but I'm gonna flip that script a bit. And that is a smart way. I want to have, you know, the things that you want, that you would expect a Weyland-Yutani Walker thing to have, but different. You know, we'll have Earth guns that sound like the alien guns, but they're still a bit different.
Same, but different.
Yeah, a nod to it, but use it in a different way. And I still quite enjoyed that, because she's a Weyland-Yutani, since she had the insides that looked exactly like Ian Holmes's insides from, you know, the first Alien film, which is just like white balls and goo and other weird shit.
Like, there's some really, really creative, like, the first two-thirds of the film's, you know, kind of very much in the planet and doing all that stuff. The last act changes gear very significantly, and you're in a different kind of setting, and it becomes a different kind of movie. Mm. And there are some really creative uses of, like, body parts and, like, it was funny, but at the same time, it was really clever, and I was like, shit, this is, like, it in less competent hands, I think it could have been silly. Like,
I think it still was a bit silly.
But at the same time, by that point, you're kind of on board with it. Like, you've got, you know, deadly monsters that can, you know, grow things and all this crazy shit. And, by that point, you're like, wow, okay, so it's disembodied limbs wandering around doing shit.
I mean, I think that's what impressed me the most by the end of it. Like, even with all those silliness parts of it, everything that they do in the film has a purpose and a reason. So it didn't feel like a lot of the, you know, kind of big blockbuster or big action-packed spectacle films you see recently, which is like, we need this scene, and then we need this scene, and then we need this scene because we have these cool things we want to do, you know? It's like, oh, no, we are going to take this cool thing that we have at the end of the film, and I'm going to break down all of the different bits and make sure that they're all shown first, so that when we assemble it to do the cool thing at the end, you understand why, and it works and it makes sense to you.
Yeah, as I'm sure Peter wouldn't even have a butt why in this movie.
No, no, no. I feel like, you know, as a big fan of Predator, she couldn't make it. Unfortunately, she was gutted.
Yeah,
she actually deals with real predators, so I think she's currently dealing with current Australian real predators. She didn't need to see a fake Australia predator.
Yeah,
this week.
Yeah, I also enjoyed the fact that, like, a lot of people, well, some people, whingy people, were like, oh, it's only an M-rated film. This is stupid. Like, how could a Predator movie not be hard R? Like, it's meant to be, like, blood and gore and shit, because all of the other Predator films have kind of gone that way.
Yeah.
And, like, this film does that very smart thing of going, yeah, we can do as much blood and gore as we want. The blood is green. The blood is white. The blood is any color other than red.
Yeah.
But there is no shortage of blood.
The alien life forms are all alien. The humans are all androids, and then the rest of it's just, you know, not human. Yeah. So we can do whatever we want. I can tear the spine off, you know, their skull and the spine out of something, but it's not real human. That's great. It's smart. It is like, why? That can't be, you know. You know, why is it at this rating? It's like, well, it doesn't have to be because it's not actually real.
Yeah.
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 So anyone worried about it going, is this, you know, a Predator movie without teeth? Is it like a kid's Predator movie?
No,
it is not.
I mean, it's the most kiddie slash, not kiddie.
Also, I'm sorry, but what planet are we on where an M-rated film is like a kid's film? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Well, it's just not hard R, you know, so it doesn't have all the blood and the guts and stuff, and so it's not, you know.
All of this stuff went out the window in the 80s.
Desensitized, haven't we?
No, but all this stuff went out the window in the 80s when they released Aliens, and, you know, then they made children's toys, and everyone went, but why are you selling children's toys to children that cannot see the film?
This is one of those films, and I realized that it, like, Predator and, you know, this one especially, is one of those films where it's like, why have we got a cartoon series? Like, I could imagine there being a cartoon of this, but you also get, like, you know, the cartoon of Rambo and the cartoon of, like, RoboCop.
Batman Returns had a Happy Meal, and that was an M movie.
Yeah. Like, some things aren't necessarily meant for all audiences, but at the same time, they're meant for all audiences.
Maybe we'll think of, like, the early 2000s and the 2010s as that time that everything went dark and gritty for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll get through that. Do you want to rate it before we do a clip? And then we'll come back and talk about anything else.
We haven't had ratings last month. Now I've got to think about numbers.
Numbers.
Again.
Think about it at all.
And you can even think about how many tits it blew off.
Oh, oh my God, I forgot about that.
Well, I got to say that our viewing companion, I think her tits were blown off. She seemed to have a great time.
Yeah. She was very, very excited and invested in the characters.
Yeah.
Like, oh, sorry, there's a character we haven't mentioned at all. Now I can't remember. Is it Bub or what's the
Bud?
Bud.
Yeah. Like, there is another character that gets introduced throughout the film that actually had a person playing them, Rohanal Nayaran.
Was it Andy Serkis?
Yeah. No, I was going to say, it wasn't Andy Serkis.
Who knew?
Yeah, they couldn't afford Serkis.
No.
Yeah, I think there was a moment towards the end of the film where Tally and I both clapped.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, there was
some moments. And I did enjoy getting to the end of the movie and hearing a bunch of the audience going, yay. Like, there was a distinct sense of, like, fuck yeah, that was good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Elskan Norga, Rambo Bright.
Nice.
Yeah.
True.
I misread it and I thought, is he trying to say that we need to do a dark, gritty version of Rainbow Bright? Then I reread it and got it.
Yeah.
Numerical rating schemes or breasts, your choice.
¿Por qué no los dos?
Indeed.
What, you're giving it two?
No, one tip flew off. I had fun. I'm going to give it, I don't know, like an 85. Really enjoyed it. I'd tell people to go and watch it. It was fun. And like for a Predator movie, I mean, I feel like they usually try to be so serious, but this was just enjoyable and fun and relatable, I guess. We had a very good protagonist.
You did. Well, we all did, yeah, yeah. Someone that was easier to connect with, but also, yeah, my only points come off because I'm a bit sad about the demystifying of the Predator culture.
That's fine.
You know, mainly because it just doesn't seem as honorable as I had in my brain.
It feels very similar to Klingon.
Yeah, kind of.
Like the culture.
Yeah. And I mean, let's be honest, there is a lot of Yautja dialogue it's very Yautja dialogue heavy in this. And that is something very unfamiliar with how every single other Predator has kind of entered into our lexicon. Like they don't talk much. They do their
and
actions
I'm
more.
Sorry if anybody here is like a fictional linguist aficionado, but I mean Yautja also sounds very Klingon-ish as well.
It does. They did make a whole language for it though, which is kind of cool.
But like, I mean, I really respect Demetrius's like performance as Deck, because there was a lot of great acting in it from him. Yeah. Like he was emoting through a combination of what must have been a lot of makeup and CGI, and I think it pulled it off. Like it's really good.
Gotcha.
You kind of went, there was a physicality and an emotional mocap performance that I think worked really well. I'm still going to go on the lower end of 80 because I just have these things I can't get over, but that's just me.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you're not shitting on it. You're still, you know, we're
in I highly recommend it.
Territory.
I think what it's going to irritate people is it is not the Predator movie you are expecting, and that is a good thing overall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say similar to you, Dan. I think the emoting part, I was really impressed by. Like, there are a few times where, like, you're getting big close-ups on Deck's face and the micro expressions, like the way that the little mandibles and stuff, you know, the skin, all of that texture stuff, I was like, shit, there's some really detailed work there. And, yeah, you could see what was going on in his mind and, you know, like, you know, he's telling a joke before he's telling the joke, and you think, fucking hell, that's a good trick. But yeah, like, I guess I had that thing of being very ready for something new in that Predator lexicon. So I'm like, sweet, great. Give me a cool story where they are the protagonist, whatever. Also, I love that this planet, which is just made of death.
That's true. Like,
yeah.
That's true.
I love it. Like, there's all these long shots of the planet, and you just see shit dying in the background.
Yeah.
I think that was the thing that made me actually really enjoy watching those big establishing shots, is there's always something that eats something else in any shot. Yeah. And sometimes it's really tiny and you're like, oh, there it is. But like, and other times you're like, wow, oh shit, that, no, it's just a lovely little nod to just be like, oh, it's an establishing shot. What's going to die?
Is there a giant slimy dick that's going to eat something? Yes.
We're going to explain what that was? No.
I feel almost 100% sure that the plant from Alien Earth, the weird bulbous plant that
it comes
I'm
from
sure
this
it's
planet.
From this planet. That's my theory anyway.
Yep.
I had a fucking ball. I enjoyed the action. I liked the way that, you know, the action beats. I actually want to see it not in an IMAX because there are a couple of times that I was a bit like, I'm not sure what's going on the screen here.
Sure.
Especially there was a big fight towards the end that I really wanted a little bit more visibility on what was happening because I got the impression that it was very clever and very well put together. For me, look, I loved it. I think it's a 90 for me. I had a ball with it. Like, there are a couple of moments where I was like, oh, have we strayed into kind of cutesy territory? like there are a couple of moments where I thought this, the Bud is really right on the edge of being Baby Yoda and shit.
Yeah. it's leaning into, is this a buddy cop film?
Yeah. Yeah. And right at the start, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. I hope Thea learns to shut up at some point because she's getting kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, like
even referenced.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I liked it because there is lots of layers to all the characters. Yeah. You know, nobody is a purely one thing. So, yeah, for me, it's 90. And I'd say at least a tit and a half was blown off by McCaster.
Stop doing this. Our rating system isn't changing to tits. Stop. You can't all have tits. Only the people with tits can have them blown off.
Hey, that seems very reductive.
Sure. I mean, I want to tell people what they can or can't want to do. It's fine.
Yeah.
Let's go and have a look at a bit of a scene of, our lead protagonist, Deck, trying to get across some ouchy grass.
Why'd you stop? Let's get out of here.
Genkate is sure you are.
What will happen now? Will he have gotten the giant stabby thing of the... Who will get out of this? We don't know. Why is Elle Fanning strapped to his back? Yes. In all these things.
For many reasons.
Spoilers, but not really spoilers section. You know?
Don't spoil it.
I don't really want to spoil it because I'd love people to go and see it because I think it's worth having a look. Although I would precursor that with going, I hope you should go... You should watch Prey, which is online now. And then you should also watch Predator Killer of Killers. I feel that would be beneficial. And I feel that would be beneficial so that you can understand how this film ties into Killer of Killers directly.
Okay.
Well, does that I mean, does sense? It?
Yes, because I went back and watched Killer of Killers and I'm like, oh my God.
Okay.
And it's a direct, I'm like, oh, that's directly tied to that. It's directly referencing
thank you, because now I have to rewatch Killer of Killers.
Yeah, go and watch Killer of Killers again.
I'm very much down for that.
And then you'll get to the last act of Killer of Killers, and you'll be like, oh, my God. Yeah. Well, I hope you do. That's what I had. That's the things I drew out of it.
Yeah.
And that's not really a spoiler.
And it has been a thing that for a long time everyone's like, you know, what kind of a planet creates the Yautja people? Like, what kind of a place is this that makes people go, okay, we need to be the best hunters and stuff like that? And I did like that that was kind of explored a little bit in that, literally in the opening seconds of, like, here's a bug. Here's another thing that eats the bug. Here's another thing that eats the bug. And, yeah, it's like, okay, this is a place where everything is killing everything.
But, like, you know, I mean, Quinny, come on. You seem like you're ignoring a little bit of the established cinema history of what the Predator home planet is kind of supposed to be like. We saw it in Alien vs. Predator. It's a little bit Mayan and temple-y. We got a glimpse of it when they called in the wolf in Alien vs. Predator Requiem.
And I was going to say, are you going to bring up Requiem?
Yeah, cause... he was just chilling out in his wolf crib. In his temple on the Predator homeworld, which they didn't explain what it was, gets a little symbol thing, and then gets up, doesn't say anything.
I like that he's like Batman of Predators.
Yeah exactly.
but his specific job is clean up.
Yeah, but his thing was like he came with a whip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I know Jill's lost. We've lost Jill right now.
Yeah.
She thought.
Did
I was
you watch either of the Alien versus Predator films, Jill?
I think I saw the first one. I actually was saying to Dion while we were sitting there in the cinema, and I was like, the year was 2002. I had graduated high school the year previous. And I saw Alien versus Predator with my first boyfriend.
Yeah. And while Jill was relating that story to me, I felt myself
shrivel up into ashes and blow away on the wind.
drinking from the wrong holy grail in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
You chose poorly.
Yes. And it's funny though, because I recommend Jill going and watching Alien vs. Predator Requiem.
Really?
Only because you might get more out of the Predator.
Oh, it's not good.
Didn't I have that conversation?
I like it, but it's not good.
Yeah. Likeable, not good. Yeah. It's just, like, I said it was my favorite film. I didn't say it was good.
I think AVP Requiem is the most mean-spirited out of any of the Alien or Predator films.
Yeah.
Like, it's super dark. The director is still complaining that they completely fucked up his color grade.
Yeah, like, so you too dark.
You cannot see most of what's going on. But it's just, it's cruel.
They have the technology to fix that now.
I know.
You could re-release it, you know.
And I would love him to. It is cruel. It delights in how badly it treats characters.
It has a chef's kiss scene of impaling a cheerleader, though. That was like one of those ones that I'm just like, perfect. That was great. Like watching someone get stuck to a wall. By a predator.
Yeah. And that is back in those times where predators, like, it's funny. That's an interesting one, because you've got this predator that is there just to do cleanup. Its entire job is to go, something's gone wrong. Yeah. I now need to clean up this entire problem.
When a hunt fails, you call in this predator. Yeah.
And so there's this vague feeling of maybe he's kind of a good guy, but he's not.
And then you realize, no, he's not.
He just does the wet work.
He's just a gun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's just there to make sure that all traces of what happened is removed. Mm. Anyway. We're talking about Predator Badlands. Is it bad? Nah. Does it land? Yes.
I liked the final act stuff. Like, and it took me a long time to realize the whole synth gag. Like, I was like, that guy looks familiar.
They hired one dude to play like 100 synths.
I hope that guy got paid so well.
I hope he got paid for every face he was.
You just see his credits. It's like synth one, synth two, synth three, synth four. Synth that got shot in the side of the head. Synth that got run over by a truck.
Synth through to 200.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's what you do. Like, you know, you do that. If you're sending exploration stuff, you send robots, they go out there. They do all your dirty work for you. You don't have to worry about them. They send the data back.
Also, I liked Elle Fanning in a dual role. I think that worked well.
A lot of dual roles in this. They seem to hire a lot of people and just keep reusing them. Got to keep the cost down.
Yeah.
It was smart, though. Hey, you know, small cast.
Yeah.
You can spend all the money on questionable CGI of tentacles.
See, the replicated synths made sense in this film. The replication didn't make sense in Tron Ares.
Oh,
that's a terrible film.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not get into that.
Sorry. No. Yeah, we avoided it for a reason.
Stay out of it.
Yeah. So, this one's good. Would you be keen to see another film by Dan Trachtenberg?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And do you want to see more Predator side, or do you want to see more human side?
I will leave that up to him.
Do you think this is the renaissance now, that now Predator films have switched, that it's all about the Predator and the humans are just the bad guy? Maybe that's it.
I would like to see Dan Trachtenberg have a go at doing Predator versus Aliens. Like, last time it was Alien versus Predator. And, you know, they were focusing on that side of things. I would like to see Dan Trachtenberg have a go at doing something along those lines, because I think he does action well. Right. And I think he does, you know, cool stuff. I would be down for that. I don't think it's going to happen.
You know, there is a little bit of it, though, that, like, I don't really know, but, like, these predators seem to be indestructible, a bit too superhuman kind of, you know, compared to our original OG one. You know, one of the things that made the Predator scary in the first one was the technology that they had as a backup to their physicality was one of the scarier things, because once you remove those things, it became a little bit somewhat easier. No, not really somewhat easier. He still did a knockdown, drag out fight with, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the biggest human that they could put on a screen at the time. But, you know, this one's very acrobatic.
Yeah, well, I mean, they kind of established that you really only get the cloaking device after you can prove that you've got the metal to be able to hunt for, you know, a prey. And not just like anything, but like a big bad fuck off beast. So it's you have to be capable as a Yapcha before you can get all of that hot shit.
Which is interesting because, and sorry, I'm going to go deep nerd here. in the comic books and or the Alien versus Predator films, which I know may not be canon, the whole thing of being coming of age was that your coming of age hunt was meant to be against aliens.
Yeah.
Like in the original comic books, like young predators were like, they would seed a planet with a few alien eggs.
Like specifically but, Xenomorph you're talking about.
Yeah. Yes, Gonk, sorry. And then the young ones would go down, but they were always very careful that they would never send down a queen egg. Like, so it was a limited hunt. You know, they weren't going to get out of control.
Okay.
And so, yeah, and this was the thing that your coming of age was that. Yeah. So this is similar. Yeah. Like, it's still the idea that I've got to hunt something that is big and impressive and dangerous.
I mean, I would love to see them make a faithful adaptation of the original Dark Horse comics from the 90s, which was all about, you know, the planet Ryushi, which was, as you said, seeded by predators for a hunt for the young ones. And the only reason that humans get involved is because they're just in the way.
Well, like, and also because the last time that they seeded there were no humans.
Yeah, the last time they seeded the planet, there wasn't any humans there.
And they're like, oh, shit, sorry, fuck. Didn't know you were going to be there.
Well, they didn't even say that. They were just like, oh, like, get out of our way. Yeah, so it's interesting. Still, there's a lot of talking going on in this film by predators, and I don't know if I agree with that. They do more things without talking about it.
Yeah, get back in the kitchen. Stop talking.
Don't think I'd say that to a female predator based on
No, well, and that's still something that we've yet to see. Thus far, as far as we're aware, we have only ever seen male predators.
On film.
To see those lady boobies.
On film,
yes, you are correct. In the comics, that it has been.
And explored. In the comics, they're indistinguishable from the males.
Oh.
Oh, not quite.
No boobies?
Yeah, well, it depends on which one.
Yeah, once again, fucking sorry. Alien versus Predator 2 comic
book. Dion never apologizes for his bullshit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, true, you're right. Okay, so after the success of the first Alien versus Predator comic book, they made the sequel, which is called Alien versus Predator Deadliest of Species. Yeah. And in the Deadliest of Species, the Deadliest of Species is female. So it's all about alien queens, female predators. Sense.
Are you getting visions of the female gremlin when you think about a female predator?
Red lipstick, leopard print dress, high heels, and a feather boa.
Hello.
Oh, and like big hoop earrings.
Yeah. Yes.
She's an 80s skank.
Yeah. and a spear gun.
Oh, I'm.
She's twice the size of a man because she's a black widow.
Yep. Well, and that was the other thing. Female predators were much bigger. Like they're a foot and a half taller than males. You're like, oh, okay, right.
Love.
Yeah.
Yes, queen. Yeah. If the alien queen can be bigger than the drones, the alien predator queens can also be bigger. Yes.
I know it's not a spoiler, but I also love that this is the first time we've ever seen a predator with a beard.
Yeah.
Like, I love that they've got dreadlocks, these tentacle dreadlock things, but at the same time, they can still have a beard.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens. Good old crab face.
Yeah, so crabby.
All right.
Go and watch the fucking thing. Just like
go to a cinema. Like, I mean, it was great because Dan Trachtenberg made Prey and that went straight to video on demand, which was a bit of a problem. So now he's got his his thing of like, no, I can make film, like, put it out in the cinema, do a cinema thing.
We were super lucky. We were one of a very, very few group of people who actually got to see Prey in a cinema.
Yeah. And it was fucking great.
It really was. Yeah. So yeah, go and support it and go, yay, more of this shit, because it's probably the smartest, funniest, most original action thing I've seen in quite a while.
Yeah, it's good. You'll be surprised. You'll be like, oh, okay, I'll go on with that. Speaking of smart, funny things you can see in a cinema, what are we doing next week?
Oh.
Frankenstein. yes, that's right. It's out in cinemas at the moment. Guillermo
Not
del
anymore.
Toro, isn't it? I thought it was.
No, it had very short run. A 5-day run, 4-day run. Yeah. But it's on Netflix this Friday.
Yeah.
Yes.
No excuses for the homework.
On the weekend.
Yes, exactly. Get out there and watch off Frankenstein.
Yes. Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
But of course, it's Guillermo. So what else do we expect?
We love him.
And we'll come back next Tuesday. Yes, we'll be back on a regular scheduled Tuesday to give you our ChatGPT review of...
Oh. If you say that three more times, Guillermo del Toro will appear behind you
and slam
your face into the glass.
And I would, I'll say it right here on camera, that would be a justifiable homicide. I hold no ill will against him. Please release him immediately. If I did that to the team.
Worst thing is, all I can remember is bits out of Blade 2 where there's a porn club or whatever it is. And
you mean like, sexy vampire orgy?
Yeah. And that's a Guillermo del Toro film where his whole thing was like, I need more jizz on the glass.
Thank you.
Speaking of
sexy vampire orgy, I have almost finished watching Witcher season 4. Do not recommend. recommend.
How's our boy Liam going in there?
I agree.
Not my boy.
I think I agree with the Guardian's review of it is at as much range as a bollard.
In a wig, I believe.
In a bollard in a wig. The only thing that I'll say nicely about it is Lawrence Fishburne actually got notes and knows how to act and creates a character.
So okay.
Lawrence Fishburne, very much enjoying that character and that what they've got to do. Like, they're doing a great job as that
Should
character.
Should have made him Geralt.
kind of. Not really.
I just remember that Lawrence Fishburne was in Predators.
Yes. although I will kind of like I sort of sit there. I've been watching season 4 and I'm like, oh man, I am absolutely 100% understanding why Henry Cavill left in a screaming fire, because they are just deviating hard away from all of the stories in the games and everything, and I'm just like, what? How? It doesn't even make any sense. Like, what are you doing? You just have to go control Z, control V in real life. And they're like, no, this character's going to kill this character. That's not how that happens. That's not when that happens. At what? Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Something else that is on TV at the moment that I'm enjoying the shit out of is It. Welcome to Derry.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, I know, Jill. I'm sorry.
Just now.
And look, you know, we're two episodes in, still no clown. So, like, you know.
Oh, but there was clown foreshadowing.
There was certainly the shadow of a clown. But I am really impressed with how hard that show goes in terms of, like, horror for a TV thing. I was like, ooh, shit, you are not fucking about. Like, first episode, I was like, okay, yeah, we're really going for the throat. Second episode, I'm like, shit. So if you enjoy that really messed up, like, Stephen King horror shit.
Stop making me want to watch it, because I can't.
I wish you could, Jill, because I think your love of horror and the psychological side of the horror stuff, I think you'd be like, shit, that's good shit. But
I finally got around to watching Bring Her Back on the weekend.
Was that any good?
Yeah, it was good.
Because it looked scary.
Yes.
Okay.
Not as scary as Talk to Me.
Right. Because that one was a big hit, wasn't it? Like, Talk to Me was like the one that everybody was like, ooh, amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing and it was terrifying. But Bring Her Back, scary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But not like keep you up at night.
Good. I don't want anything to keep me up at night because if I want that, I just read the news before I go to bed.
Mm. Yeah. This is true.
I don't need more of that. Excellent. So come back next Tuesday and and join us for Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And we will have a lovely time. Thanks for everyone
in
the chat.
Everybody.
Enjoy your week, everyone.
Have a good week.
Love your work, chat.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.